We have a very, very special time this morning. We've been doing a series on prayer as a church. Many of the messages that we've been hearing over the last few months since Christmas have been on this topic. And in some ways, today we're hearing about the practice of prayer. We're going to be hearing from three very wonderful people this morning who are going to talk about some of the their sort of personal treasures, if you like, things that they've discovered in their own prayer life. So we're hearing first from Pat, then from Sophie, and then from David. So let's just pray, shall we? Let's just commit this time to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. Lord, knowing that you are in some ways beyond our comprehension, and yet we know you love us. Oh God, we just got to take a look at the cross and we know how much you love us, oh God, and how much we mean to you. And we thank you for this incredible gift of prayer, this gift of life, this forgiveness of sins, Lord, but this relationship that you have called each one of us into, Lord. And we just pray for this time together this morning that you would speak to us afresh about this beautiful thing of prayer, Lord Jesus. Lord, pray for your anointing upon Pat, on Sophie, on David, Lord. Jesus, give them the words to say, clarity, Lord Jesus, and give us ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning. Amen. Pat, here we go.
Thank you, Bob. Good morning, church. I must say, I'm a bit nervous to be doing this. I spoke, come up and gave test meetings before, but I just feel a bit nervous. So about 14, 15 months ago, I was at the prayer meeting on a Tuesday night, and there was a prayer meeting this Tuesday night if anyone wants to come. that's okay, Louise, don't worry. Anyway, it's something to look. So like, it's at Highgate Road Chapel, 7:30 p.m. Every Tuesday in term time, not term time, we don't meet, okay? So there you go. Thank you, Phil. And I seem to go every week. But 14 months ago, I was having a really hard time. And I went to prayer meeting, didn't really want to go. But I just got myself to go. And after the meeting, Joe West said something to me. He said, Pat, you seemed a bit out of sorts tonight. And I was out of sorts, so I wasn't having a good time. And this, you just challenged me just to thank God for three things every morning. And we're doing it ever since. And I thank God for the same three things, especially Monday to Saturday when I'm going to work. And he really helps me. But that's the first part of what I want to share. And the second part, Phil, can you put Psalm 100 up, please? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Psalm 100, verse 1 to 5. So yeah, I've been asked to share something about thanksgiving to prayer. I've got to thank God for so many things, but one thing I'm really thankful for, that he chose me. I didn't choose him. Also, I'd like to thank him for healing my fiancée of her blindness. She's not completely healed, but it's a step in the right direction. Like 4 or 5 months ago, she couldn't see her eye at all. And I really thank God for that. I thank God for my family, my church family. I thank God every morning before I go to work, even on the way to work, even at work. Pray that he give me self-control and patience when I'm at work, because sometimes it's really difficult. I find it really hard to come up and speak today. Forgive me. But he's done so many things in my life. You know, I can't begin to thank him for his grace and mercy, his forgiveness when I've done something wrong. And thank you for everybody in this church that supported me through becoming debt-free, also giving me a job that I'm still in now, even though sometimes I feel I don't want to be there anymore. I'm sure we all feel like that. So just thank God with all your heart, and I encourage you and to try to thank God for three things in the morning. It might be the same three things, but just thank him for it. And maybe about lunchtime, do the same thing. And at the end of the day, do the same thing. And you'll have a rewarding, fulfilling day. If you don't put him first, you're not going to have a good day. And I remember one time in particular, I didn't put God first one morning. And in the evening, I had a really bad day. In the evening, I said, God, are you trying to be funny? And he said, yeah. He kind of taught me a bit about humility. So that's all I really want to say. And I just thank God with all my heart. So I'm just going to quickly just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning for this time we can spend together to praise and worship you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for thanking you, Lord, for everything you do in our lives, Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that as the other two share, Sophie and David Hitman, that you just bless them and give them the right words to say to that, to encourage us and to bless us. And also when Bob finishes everything after we all speak, Lord, and I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat. Well done. It's such a beautiful thing, isn't it? Thanksgiving. I think it's so easy to, you know, bring our needs to God and our requests to him and forget to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And so many things that we can give thanks to him for. Sophie. Yes. Sophie, there you are. I was looking for a bright yellow colour.
I took my coat. I've got a microphone. Okay, so Nick's asked me to talk about how God leads me in prayer. So recently I've been quite challenged about the way that I come to God in prayer. And I'm quite good at coming up with ideas. And I'm quite good at telling God what to do. And he's really challenged me to try and get on board with what he's doing. So I just want to talk a little bit about that and then go through a couple of practical things that I've done to help me do that. I'm going to start with a verse. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. This is what God says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And sort of as I've been praying, it's like God says, listen, you've got a great idea, but my plans are so much bigger and so vast and so much more beautiful and intricate than yours. So come alongside me and let's do this together. So what I'm not saying is don't come to God with your requests, because obviously that's really important. But come to God and try and hear what he's saying. And like the idea that God's moving and we can kind of jump on board with him and go with him and his spirit. So this verse for me, it takes the pressure off. It puts my plans and my ideas into perspective. It stops me trying to push my own agenda. And it stops me trying to persuade God to do things. It builds my faith, okay, that this is the God that I'm praying to. I'm not just praying to somebody who's also got good ideas. It's the creator of the universe, and it really helps me to trust him. It does also, though, make me wonder, how can I ever pray what God wants when I can't even come close to understanding how amazing he is? So there's a couple of things that I wanted to talk about. Michelle's already done this, to be fair. Michelle would come up here and give us verses to memorise. And getting God's word into us, for me, is one of the best ways of knowing that I'm praying what God wants me to pray. When I was at university, I joined a Christian group called Navigators, and their whole thing is about learning, memorizing scripture. So every week we were given a verse to learn, and that's what we did. We learned scripture. And so now I find when I pray, I've got those scriptures, the word of God to use, and I think, I don't know what to pray, but God knows what to pray, and so I've got his word in me, and that's a really, really helpful thing to do. The Bible says that God's word is living and active. So it's not just memorizing some nice words. These are the words of God, and these words that change things. In Ephesians, it talks about the word of God being the sword of the Spirit, and this idea that, you know, we're changing things as we pray. We're not just being obedient. We're not just making ourselves feel better. As we connect with God, as we connect with Jesus, as we use his words, we're actually changing things and making a big difference. The second thing that I do is pray in tongues. It's just another place to start. I think sometimes when you pray, there's so much to pray for. There's thousands of people. There's terrible things happening in the world. There's my job. There's, what am I going to cook for dinner? I mean, there's so many things to think about. So I can start by praying God's word. I can also start by praying in tongues. And this is something that's really, really helped me, because it's me just saying, I want to pray what you want to pray, God. I'm not trying to be in control. I'm trying to let God be in control. Sometimes I don't really know what I'm praying, but I know that I'm putting God first. And I think as you speak out and you... I mean, they're just kind of almost nonsense words, but they somehow connect me to God and help me to connect to his Holy Spirit. Sometimes it feels really strange and a bit stupid and not very spiritual. But I would encourage you to persist, because as you keep going, it's again like catching up to speed with God and getting on board with what he's doing. Another thing, Pat will like this thing, arranging to meet with people to pray. I think sometimes just turning up, and I hold my hands up, I'm not the most committed prayer meeting goer, but I do arrange to meet with friends, and I've got a time, I've got a place, we're going to pray, and it's just setting that time aside. How do we start? I don't know. You just turn up and you start, and then God does things. I just really want to encourage you all to pray. Find people that you enjoy praying with. I've met there's a few people that I meet and pray with, and I really enjoy praying with it. The thing that Philippa does and Alan, it's just a brilliant time where we go and pray. The prayer meeting, we're there, that's our purpose. We go and pray, we meet with Jesus, get on board with what he's doing, and become part of that. So it's rather than trying to, come on Lord, I need you to do this, it's much more exciting to say, Lord, what are you doing? Can I get on board with it? I've lived in Camden just over 20 years, and I think over that time, of all the great ideas that I've told God that he should do, all the plans I've come up with, all the people that I think should have become Christians, and all the prayers that he hasn't answered the way that I want to. And then I compare that to where God's put me now and how he's established me, how he's put me in an incredible position in my neighbourhood, in my workplace, with people that I know. And like, it's a tiny glimpse, but it's like, Lord, your plans are so much better than my plans. And I'm just really grateful to God for persisting with me and for guiding me. Yeah, that's it really. Just that idea. Let's get on board with what God's doing. Use his word. You know, speak in tongues if you can. Just get started really. So shall I just quickly pray, and then we'll hand over. Lord, thank you that you're so, so good. Thank you that your ways are so far above our ways. Your ideas, your plans are vast, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the intricacies of all that you do, Lord Jesus. And Lord, help us just to take a step this week to get on board with what you're doing. Help us to hear your voice, Lord. Please remind us that you're there for us. And Lord, we're so in awe of the things that you're doing, the things that we can't even see you're doing. We have faith that you're working, Lord, and we want to get on board with you and your plans. So thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Sophie. Amazing. David. Way.
Hello, everyone. So today I'm going to talk about prayer and worship. Sometimes I find it quite hard to pray, so I use worship quite a lot. I've found that worship helps me communicate with God. Like praying, both worship and praying are ways of communicating with God. So today I want to encourage you by sharing some helpful ways I use music to help me get close with God. It's funny how sometimes we mishear the sound, the lyrics of Christian songs. One example is the Delirious' band, I'm Not Ashamed of the Gospel, it's one of their songs, which contains the lyrics, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, I'm not ashamed of the one I love. But someone misheard it and thought it said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, I'm not ashamed of the one-eyed bug. I mean, you don't really want to be singing that one to God, but there we go. However, today we're going to look at some lyrics of another song and really try and understand what it's saying. We're going to look at three different points, and I hope that you'll be able to use them as tools to understanding this song. The three points are, what is it saying? Is it true? And how can I apply this? There are many songs I could have chosen today, but the one I really felt like God put on my heart was Lighthouse. I thought Pat would like that one. We're going to briefly look at the second verse, then use these three points to break it down. So the verse goes, in the silence you won't let go, in the questions your truth will hold, your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Right, so what's it saying? So, well, for me, I injured my knee about 12 years ago. And so I was about 11 years old. And I was told at the time that I would never be able to run, jump, or skip again. Not that I did much skipping, but there we go. But it's a tough thing to hear when you're about 11 years old. You want to do that and even more. And I prayed a lot, and for many years I prayed, and many prayed for me. And 2 years later, my knee was half healed, which is a complete miracle. The doctors didn't know how to explain it. And then just recently, in a Bethel concert, someone prayed for me, and I walked out the door, and I thought, oh, nothing's happened. And as I walked down the street, I normally have a clicking, which is a bit disgusting, but there we go. I had like loose cartilage, and God completely healed it. And it was just, it was such an amazing miracle. And so like the line, the first line there, in the silence you won't let go. Like a line like this can be so helpful in getting us through tough times in our lives. Where God may seem silent, things aren't happening, or situations are getting worse. Like the song says, God won't let go. Well then, is it true? There we go. That's the answer. I had an appendix operation 2 years ago. The operation went really, really wrong. And I was in immense pain. I was in and out of hospital, and I was taking very strong painkillers to get through each day. I was told, you might have to live with this pain for the rest of your life. I was filled with so much uncertainty. Like the verse in this song, in the questions, your truth will hold. I had so many questions, not of blaming God, but what's next? Is this how I'm going to live the rest of my life? But God's truth does hold. I held on to this verse, which was so helpful for me. It was Joshua 1 verse 9. It says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And 4 months later, God healed me completely in the Soul Survivor meeting on our youth camp. So I'd encourage you today to find verses that root you in God, that you can hold on to just as God is holding on to you. So how can we apply this? Well, my wrist is still recovering from a sporting injury that I had last year. It's taking time, but I'm trusting, waiting, and asking God to heal me completely. Like the verse in the song, "Your great love will lead me through." I'm depending on God's great and vast love to lead me through, to break through. I'm having faith that it will get better. In the same way, whatever we are going through, we can rely on God's great love to lead us through. Finally, I just want to finish with a short story. Whilst I was with YWAM in Thailand, we were driving at dusk over mountains in the jungle. There's a picture I'm trying to find. Just imagine I'm a tiny little dot somewhere on there, driving along these windy roads. The bus was too big for the roads and was driving carefully along these narrow, twisting roads. On either side of the road, it was very comforting, was a steep embankment where there were trucks and vehicles of all sizes that had fallen off the road. They lay smashed and broken, and I really hope we weren't going to join them. On top of this, I felt coach sick as the coach sort of lurched around the winding roads. I decided it was probably a good idea to start praying at this point. So I started praying, and a Christian artist name came to mind, Beth Croft. So I started listening to her album, and as I did, the song "When Love Takes Over" came on. The lyrics that really stood out for me were, "When I found myself far from home, still you loved me with those open arms." I felt so far from home. Yet God reminded me that despite this, he was near. He filled me with the same closeness as when I was at home. By listening to the song, I no longer felt coach sick, homesick, or scared of the coach crashing down the hill, because Jesus was with me. He was home, right there. I hope today that sharing with this with you will encourage you to have a go at doing this if you aren't already, to use the lyrics of worship songs as an inspiration to help you pray, as another way of communicating with God. I want to encourage you to listen to Christian songs because it gives God an opportunity to speak to you, to inspire you, to encourage you, and to affirm his truth. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Fantastic. Heard some wonderful things this morning, so thanks to Pat and Sophie and to David. I think, this thing of Thanksgiving, absolutely, so core, isn't it, to our walk with God. We cannot, I guess the opposite of Thanksgiving is grumbling. And that's such a bad place to be and to find ourselves. And certainly in the Bible, it's the great thing the children of Israel were very good at. They're not the only ones that are good at grumbling. I can sometimes be good at grumbling too. It's great that we turn, when we find ourselves in that place of, what's going on, that we turn that around and begin to thank God. For his greatness, his goodness, his kindness, the blessings. I've got this new job at the moment, and when I got the news that I'd been sort of, got this permanent job, my immediate thought was, oh my goodness, can I do the job? But I've learned over the last few weeks to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this job. Thank you for the people I'm working with. This thing about the word of God in prayer, and in some ways in the worship as well. I mean, in some ways, these songs, the songs we want on our heart are the songs that reflect the truth of the Bible, aren't they? They're the songs that we want to be. And music is such an incredible gift, isn't it, from God? I mean, if lasagna is proof that God exists, and I passionately believe lasagna is, what food, then worship and music is, what a gift from God. And it touches us in ways that, it touches us at a deeper level, I think, sometimes, that gift of music and worship. And meditating on those, the word of truth that comes through is a fantastic place to be. Praying in tongues, a great gift. and something God's given us to use, hasn't he? So, you know, when we've those who have received that precious gift, you know, it's a great thing to use. I know when I'm getting ready to preach on the Saturday, the day before, I always spend half an hour praying in tongues just to try and get my heart, because this is a spiritual thing, isn't it? It's not just someone standing up and you know, talking their kind of ideas from the Bible. We want something of God, don't we? We want the Holy Spirit to be at work, and that affects our prayer lives as well. And this is, you know, this is about his agenda, isn't it? It is about seeing what he is doing and getting involved in what he's doing, not just us, as Sophie was saying, telling God how to sort it all out. It's allowing him to use us as instruments and praying together. Well, let's do that now. let's just spend a few minutes just praying. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Again, we just want to so thank you. Lord, we want to put into practice this morning what we've heard. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the cross. Lord, we can start with the big, big things that you've done in history, Lord. Lord Jesus, the cross, Lord Jesus, that shouts out how much you love us, Lord. Shouts out the horror that you've saved us from, Lord Jesus, that demonstrates the lengths you would go to for us. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the cross. And we thank you that you're the God who knows us. You know us all so deeply, so profoundly, so wonderfully. Lord God, you know each one of us by name. You call us by name. You know us profoundly, oh God. We love you for it, Lord Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for one another, Lord. Thank you for this time together this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you that you are here with us, God, revealing yourself to us, Lord. We pray for more and more of this precious revelation of who you are, Lord. We thank you for music. We thank you for worship, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this vehicle, Lord God, to truth entering our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, to being together in one place and praising you, Lord Jesus, lifting up your name. We thank you for this, Lord, how we can use it in our prayer lives as well, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you. If the band will come up and...
Sorry, I haven't planned this, so I'm just checking it's right. I just wanted to say that sometimes we forget to thank God, don't we? And we forget to tell other people about answered prayer. And I'm not entirely sure. Raywin's gone, hasn't she? She's outside. I'm not entirely sure if I've ever really told Raywin what happened about this. But I was in a real tizzy at work about 6 months ago. Every year, it's part of my job, my current job, before I leave at the end of March, to try and recruit some new practice nurses to work in general practices in Tower Hamlets. And it's really hard work, actually, because we have to find the right people, and then we have to find the right practices, and then we have to kind of match it so that we get good people in good practices and everybody's really happy. And it's really challenging because you might have some really good people, but not enough general practices to put them in because they don't want to have them. Or you can have... lots of practices and not enough good people. So we kind of worked this sort of balancing act through August and September. And last year, I thought it's great. I thought this is fantastic. We got three practices, three nurses that we'd recruited through the first stage. Just thought, well, that one's going to go there, that one's going to go there, and that one's going to go there. It's all going to be great. And one of the practices said, I don't want that woman. And it was a disaster because we only had three people. So basically, you know, the program's really shrunk over the years. We used to have five, six, even seven, I think, once came through. Normally we have four or five. It had gone down to three for the last couple of years. So I just was left with two people, which is not a group. We try and have a group. And I spoke to Raymond. I said, oh, it's just awful. I said, will you pray with me? I think it was at a prayer meeting. I said, will you pray with me? Because this is going horribly wrong. And this really lovely woman has not got a job. And I felt awful for her because she'd come through the whole assessment process and was left with no job. And the practice was cross because they didn't have a nurse. I said, well, you didn't want the lady. So it was all a mess, really. And I felt so upset for this woman. And Raymond said, let's pray. Let's just pray about it. You know, God's got this. She said, he knows what you're doing and he knows what you need to kind of do to work this out. And I was going, oh, it's all hopeless. But she had more faith than I did, and she prayed. And about 3 months later, this lady, I said to the lady, go and sit with a practice nurse, try and get some experience, just go and sit with them so you know what they're doing, because you don't really know what the job is, and so really help you. You're going to have to apply again next year, and I was really hoping she'd hang on and apply next year, but that's a whole year away. And she went to sit in with a really lovely senior nurse in Tower Hamlets, one of our very good surgeries, and suddenly I got this email from this lady, and she said, I want to take this woman on. She's brilliant. And I said, really? I said, has the practice interviewed her? She said, no. And I said, you sure it's all right? And she was saying, yep, we're just going to take her on. And I was going, really? I couldn't believe it, because this was a really seriously lovely practice and a really lovely lead nurse. And it turned out that when this woman came to visit her, she had just found out that one of her nurses was going to retire, and she was thinking, what on earth am I going to do? I need some more staff. And this lady who was interviewing was a really experienced district nurse, so she had lots to bring. And it was just amazing. And the lady who recruited her is a partner in the business, so she had complete control over the nursing team. And when she met this woman, she just said, I'm going to have her. So I just wanted to say thank you to the Lord, because sometimes we don't have faith, but if we keep praying and we really keep asking God and keep putting him in the centre, things happen, you know, and people might say, oh, it's just a coincidence. That was not a coincidence. So I just want to thank God for this and thank Raymond, who's not here.
Thanks, Vicky. It's good, isn't it? Praying for one another. We sometimes don't have faith, but when we gather others around us, then their faith can help our lack of faith. Let's worship the Lord. Let's stand, shall we? We're going to sing this beautiful song, I Will Offer Up My Life. This is a song that we can pray with confidence, isn't it? It's a song we can pray offering our lives to this living, loving, wonderful God. Amen.
Don't sit down, please. See if you can find someone. Lovely to see you all this morning. If you're new and visiting, it's lovely to have you with us. Why don't you go and see if you can find someone new to greet this morning, and welcome. Ah, morning. Do please come and take a seat. Maybe you can continue your conversations over coffee at the end of our service, the end of our meeting. Thank you. Okay. If you are new and it's your first week, we do have over on the information desk, we have a card, a welcome card, which if you could fill in, then someone from the church will be in touch with you, and you can get to know us a bit more, and we can get to meet you too. That would be great. So you'll find one of these on the information desk, and there's a little box to put it in at the end of the meeting. Okay. Shh. We have a number of notices this morning. This morning is an ECOS Sunday, so Sarah's going to come up and share just a little bit about ECOS with us.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to do a hard stare like teachers do at the front of the class. Okay, this morning is an English conversation on Sunday week. So at 1 o'clock, we're meeting in the drama room to host our guests. There's quite a few people coming this morning now. When I last looked, there were 21, and we don't have many helpers. So if anybody could possibly help this morning, it'd be much appreciated. And also, if people could make their way there a little bit early, because often the visitors come early, and there's only me to talk to otherwise, and Suzanne. So it'd be really good if you could come a little bit early if possible. Thank you very much.
Dan, a man of many talents, many things you're involved in, you've got lots to tell us about this morning.
I think there's all an order of bags,
aren't there? Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, good morning everyone. This is for New Day. I gave a notice last week, but just to recap, from the 3rd of August to the 8th of August, we've got it subsidised as well. So all we have to pay is £80. We get a coach, we get food, and there's loads of events. There's skateboarding, basketball, much like Soul Survivor. Apparently it's better, but you know, we can only be the judges of that. So yeah, if you need a form, see myself, Mauricio, or Sandra, and we'll provide you with the details. Thank you very much.
And the youth service, is there anything?
Youth service as well. So there's a band practice for the youth service after church, but there is an amazing youth service happening next week, which you should all attend because it's going to be spiritual and a lot of fun. All right.
Amen. And that will be followed. We'll have lunch afterwards, so please come with some delicious food to share. And it'll be a time for us all to share together at the end of the service next week. That'll be fantastic. All the children, toddlers, babies, everyone is heading out this morning. If you're here for the first time with children, there will be someone just at the back who can help you find your way to which group you might need to go to.
Let's stand. Everybody stand. Thank you so much. We're going to start this morning with this amazing song, Who Breaks the Power of Sin and Darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of Glory, the King above all kings. And the chorus goes, this is amazing grace, this is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you laid down your life that I would be set free. And it struck me this morning in the prayer meeting that Jesus is, he's the lifter of burdens, he's the healer of hearts, he's the one who comes to bring us peace. He's the I think Monica's talking about the one who calms the storm. He's the calmer of storms today. And he's not just those things in history. He's these things for us as his people today. There's this amazing verse in John chapter 1, verse 16. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Grace upon grace. This incredible gift that Jesus brings to us. Let's just pray, shall we? Let's commit this time to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we just welcome you in this place today, Lord. Jesus, we want to honour your presence here. We thank you that you're not a God who is afar off, oh God. You're not a God who leaves us to get on with stuff, leaves us to ourselves, but you're a God with us, with your people, tending us, caring for us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to invite you to come and freely move amongst us today. Would you be to us in reality, the one who calms storms, heals hearts, Lord Jesus. Amen. In some ways we can try and make him in our own image. We can try and understand him and comprehend him. But he is so, so much bigger. The Bible talks about the love of God having length and depth and height and breadth and being beyond our understanding. And if the love of God is that, then he himself must be so much bigger and so much more amazing than we can imagine. And this is the God that we serve today. This is the God that we're making our offerings to today. And we're going to sing this lovely song, Lord, Reign in Me. Borrowing the words, I'll give them back, honest.
Promise.
Promise. This is the words, over all the earth you reign on high, every mountain stream, every sunset sky, but my one request, Lord, my only aim is that you'd reign in me again. And this is our invitation to this God who is so big and so beautiful and so wonderful, as we bring our offering, that he would reign in this place and reign in each one of our hearts this morning. So as we give our offering, let's continue to worship. Amen.